You know, keeping fish as pets can be a pretty rewarding experience. They bring a beautiful underwater world right into your home. However, you need proper research and a good aquarium set up to have healthy fish. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Today, you'll learn what it takes to be a responsible aquatic pet owner. We have a couple of guests for you. One, Steve Vanek is the owner of the Fish Factory in West Allis. It's a family. And Steve, by the way, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Larry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you well.
Awesome.
Steve has a family-owned and operated business. It was established in 1986. And his son, Tyler Bannick, is with us as well. We'll be taking over the business at some point. Tyler, welcome to you.
Thank you. Happy to be here. He's trying to push me out, Larry.
We'll have to talk about that for a minute or two. But before we get
show on that, Larry.
As we talk with our guests, I hope you'll join in. Have you have your own aquarium? Have you had problems with it? Are you wondering about how to get one going? Maybe you're struggling with how to keep it clean, or maybe you wonder what aquatic plants would work with your fish or other things that you could put in those tanks. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, Steve, maybe start with you. Tell us about your store in West Allis. What all do you sell there?
Well, Larry, our logo says if it swims, we sell it. So I started it in 1986. I was a local breeder of the largest breeder of angelfish in the state of Wisconsin. And had over 100 aquariums in my basement, all handmade, believe it or not. And I was peddling these fish and not really making too much money, but it kept me out of trouble. And once I was a journeyman printer. I met a gentleman I did a printing ad for. Our delivery guy was unavailable, so I delivered it. And he met me, was impressed with me, and offered me to, he was into fish and offered to start this. And when I was 20 years old, I started this business with no knowledge of anything other than the fish, and now we're 39 years in, so apparently I'm doing something right.
Hey, you must be. Tyler, how'd you get wrangled into it?
Yeah, well, being here, born and raised as a kid, I mean, I still remember when I was, second, third grade and running around the shop, so it's most certainly been in my blood for as long as I can remember, have a strong passion for it, and love being here and love what I'm doing.
Why do you think fish, have either one of you answer this, but maybe Steve, turn to you first. Why do fish make great pets?
I mean, back in the day, and again, we go back a while, Larry. I mean, I did 18 tanks for the VA here in West Allis, and they contracted us to do that. There was basically a study on how they were helping people of all different ailments that were going to be able to help them, just relax. And so if it's done right and it's set up correctly, it's a very rewarding, relaxing. It's almost, we specialize, Larry, in almost aquatic gardens. So think about a bonsai tree that you bring inside. We really specialize in making our aquariums a piece of living art, if you would. And so I think that's really fits into this day's society with, everything going green and stuff like that. And it's just it's a venue that we attacked about 4 or 5 years ago, and we sell thousands of plants a month, and we install tanks all over the city. And so that's pretty much how we do our business, at least.
I have a relative who's at a memory care facility, and they have of a large tank, it's well appointed, and it does. I think it's a calming. It's fun to just sit, and you'll see a lot of people just looking at the aquarium. A lot of the
Correct.
Members of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when we do the assisted living centers, we always install them with brighter lights, larger fish. You know, so we've been taking consideration, what for children's, we'll do colored fish with moving items and bubbles. And, so when we do a job out on the road, and Tyler actually can attest to that, he is the lead of all our service division. He runs that whole entire division. And we've done tanks up to $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 aquariums. And so when you're contracted for something like that, you know, you gotta kind of know what you're doing.
I would think so. Tyler, what would a tank, a $25,000 aquarium look like? How big is that?
Oh, yeah, I mean,
Scotty's. That's
Yeah, 8 foot custom, about 300 gallon rimless acrylic. He's got bamboo about 15 feet tall growing out of his tank with custom suspension lights. Even all the plumbing is drilled through two floors into the basement with an RODI unit that sends water right back up. So no buckets, you know, hassle free. But yeah, very high end. A lot of work and a lot of thought and process goes into a setup at that caliber.
Well, let's think more of a Larry Mueller type setup.
$12.99, we got those too, Larry.
We'll take care of you.
We got you, buddy.
Let's say you want to buy your first fish. What kind? Sure. What kind of fish make good beginner pets?
Sure, you can get into an aquarium, Larry, for under $100 very easily. The key is the filtration systems. You got to think of those as living gardens. People have to understand that if you don't have a good filter, it's like you don't have a good motor in your car. And so if you have a good filter and a good filter system that produces nectosmores and nectobacters, which are the two bacteria that break down the fish waste, that's what makes an aquarium succeed. We see too much of that coming in a door that is improper. The filters are too small. They're improperly set up. They're not trained correctly. So we spend a lot of time educating the public and making sure we reverse them, whether we can use their stuff, or I had a guy yesterday came in and we totally had to give him a whole new system because he was not doing well. But a starter fish is a betta, very common fish. You can actually put it in a smaller container or a vase. A lot of people like to give as much room as possible, maybe a gallon or even 2 or 3 gallons. Of course, you got your common goldfish that you see at state fairs and then they throw the ping pong ball. Those fish there, believe it or not, we have people come every year and say, you know, we started with the goldfish from the fair. We've been doing this for 10 years. Stupid goldfish. And yeah, so so those are starter fish. You know, as you get into the tank, you get a heater and a light, and then you can pretty much open it up. We specialize in major, major, major education. It's really where it is. If you're not educated, you spend 30 minutes here, you got everything you need to know to succeed.
You got me thinking back to my my youth when I won a goldfish at the state fair and I gave it to my girlfriend of the time.
Yeah? How'd that work out? Is she still with you?
No.
Yeah, well, there you go.
She got rid of me a long time ago.
Yeah, and the goldfish, I'm guessing.
Probably. Oh, I'm pretty sure. The goldfish is long past. How long do they live, typically, a betta or a goldfish? You know, what do you expect?
Tyler, what, bettas are about 5 years on an average.
Yeah, 5 years.
Goldfish can live a long time. And I do want to encourage, I want to say one thing about that. A lot of people, and the DNR doesn't like it, they you know, when they're done with the fish, they put it in their local pond or local river. You know, electric, don't do that. It's just, it's not fair to the fish. I mean, they're pulling them out of Lake Michigan and they're a foot and a half long. They eat the vegetation. They mess with the natural habitat, you know, so surrender it. There are places that you can surrender fish if you don't want them anymore. Of course, most stores will take them back. And so just, you know, it's important. It's a real problem. In fact, in the South, you can't even have things like piranhas and things like that because they live all year long. And so, when you're done with your fish, call a store that's reputable and get it taken care of and definitely get it donated and taken care of.
Should you, I won that goldfish, and so the girlfriend had one goldfish in a, I don't even know the bowl that she used. I think they put the goldfish in a plastic bag with water.
Right.
And that's how we got it going. But should you buy fish in numbers? And, you know, does a fish get lonely?
There you go, Tyler. That's a good question for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of schooling fish where, yeah, if you just do one or even two, they feel very, you know, uncomfortable, insecure. They can get stressed. Like neon tetras or any type of rummy nose or small schooling tetras are great, and they're beautiful in a tank. When you put a dozen plus and they stay in a ball and go left and right, it's a gorgeous, you know, almost centerpiece for a fish tank. Same with, there's even catfish that's cool. There's little Corydoras, little Cory cats. You put them six plus and you'll see them scoot around all in a little pack together. It's really cool when you see that, and you almost replicate a little piece of nature inside your aquarium.
I wonder, you know, if you notice maybe one of your fish is being aggressive toward another fish or others in the tank, what should you do?
Yeah, well, and that's a very great question, and it's a daily question. I mean, I think it starts, again, you know, if you haven't gotten my message, it's education, Larry. If people are educated and if they don't understand, you know, I mean, the internet is very confusing. There's stuff on the internet that I read that I shake my head and go, wow. And so, it's okay, but you have to understand, it's like a garden. Like I said, just because you had a good garden last year doesn't mean your new tank or your new tank when you move or go to a different space or when you were a kid or an adult, everyone's unique because it's a biosystem. So, you know, just because it works for Larry doesn't mean it's going to work for Steve. So people need to find a store that they want to deal with, that they trust, and then, you know, follow that, get it set up correctly. If you did that, you won't have the problem of aggressive fish issue, because the stores don't, some of the stores don't just educate. They just grab the net, you know, and people come in and they're like, I put this fish in my tank and I woke up and there's nothing left but the one fish. Yeah. And I look at the receipt and I'm like, well, you know, you probably shouldn't have had that fish that gets a foot long in your 10-gallon tank. So it really starts with that, Larry. Education, 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 making sure people are making smart choices. We offer returns. If you take a fish, we tell customers, hey, if it doesn't work out, just come back. But, you know, come back the next day. Don't wait till all the eyes are missing and stuff. You know, we can't do much with that. We got to, you know, come on back. And so we don't see a lot of it. We sell thousands and thousands of fish a month. And we don't see a lot of returns. So here and there.
Steve and Tyler Bannick, our guests today. Steve is owner of the Fish Factory in West Dallas. Tyler is the son, and I'm guessing down the road, I'm not even guessing. I know down the road he's going to be taking over the business. You can join in with your questions. You have fish? Would you like to have fish? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guests, Steve and Tyler Bannick of the Fish Factory in West Allis. Great to have them with us. Again, join in your own questions. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. I'm wondering, just off, maybe a little off topic. No, I guess it's not. You have to work with veterinarians. We just had a veterinarian on the show, not somebody who deals with fish, but are there those kinds of services out there, and do you use them just in your own business?
We don't use veterinarians. We don't come across it much, Larry. If somebody comes in with a reptile or something, we will advise them to go to, we have two local veterinarians that we actually have tanks in their places that we recommend. We did have an eel one time, a moray eel that got bit. In fact, it bit Tyler and I as service guys, believe it or not. And we had to have it stitched. And so that was a friend of ours that kind of helped out. But be honest with you, we don't cross that. We direct import our fish from 17 different countries. So they come from all over the world. And we do our in-house disease treating here. We hold all our animals for our fish for 3 to 4 days and then release them to the public.
I was thinking about my daughter, who's a marine biology major in college, and her job is part of her job, aside from the courses she's taking, is to take care of the tanks. Sure. Many of the tanks, and she had an eel, a baby one, that she had to feed with a forceps because the fish would come around and grab the whatever it was she was feeding them before the eel would come out and grab it.
Yeah, they're very fast and very sneaky. And if you're talking and looking away, that's how I got bit. It literally came out of the tank 3 to 4 inches and bit me on the hand. while I was talking to the customer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thinking about size here, I mean, do you choose all right, let's say I want to start an aquarium. Do I think in terms of size first, or do I think in terms of fish first?
I think, you know, what we like to do is we kind of interview you. So, Larry, if you came in, we'd say, all right, are you home a lot? Do you travel a lot? Do you, you know, what's your space? Do you have a picture of the room? You know, with this technology today, you know, I mean, I'm back from the fax days. Now you can take a picture on your phone and show us your room and stuff like that. So I think it starts with you. It starts with what do you want? What do you expect? And then we tailor the kit to you. We don't just grab one off the shelf and pat you on the head, because again, it's part of your living environment. So do you want it to be live plants? Do you just want it easy to take care of? Do you want to try more exotic things? And everybody has their interesting tastes, and it's very cool. It's very cool. And so that's what we do. So budget, sometimes if we feel like you want to say, well, how much is it going to cost me? We'll ask you, well, what do you want to spend? What are you comfortable with? 100? 200? Do you want to spend 1,000? What do you want to spend? And then we will go through all the tanks we have available and find something that kind of fits your slot.
That makes sense. I'm wondering, of course, there's saltwater tanks and there's freshwater tanks. Talk about maybe about the difference in maintaining a saltwater tank versus a freshwater tank.
Okay, yeah, Tyler's perfect for that. He's actually our saltwater specialist and our reef specialist. So go ahead, Ty.
Yeah, saltwater definitely is a little more heavy on the filtration. You know, definitely you want to go a little bit bigger. They always say the rule of thumb for freshwater, it's 1 inch per gallon. You know, saltwater, you want to be about 1 inch per 5 gallons. And then there's fish-only tanks and then coral tanks. And then coral gets a little more, and then another step above, right? Now we're talking about testing your alkalinity levels in DKH, you're talking about your calcium levels in part per million, boron, strontium, all these micro elements too that kind of play into factor. So just like my dad said before, you know, we can have a basic setup, or we can go as high tech as you want, where you can have actually an instrument text you and send you alerts if your temperature goes up or down by a point of a degree. So but yeah, we're almost a one-stop shop here. We can set you up with a rainbow gravel fish tank with some air bubbles. We could set you up with a reef tank or a high-end Japanese planted Iwagumi style CO2 fish tank. So yeah, there's a lot of routes and a lot of avenues, and we are happy to walk you through any which way you want to go.
So what do you sell? I mean, I'm wondering how popular the saltwater tanks might be versus the freshwater tank. So you sell more freshwater than you do saltwater?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we have almost 40 years of history, right? And it's evolutionary, just like, you know, like anything else would be. And we found as soon as COVID hit, that saltwater dropped about 40%. I'm actually in a network with 4 or 5 very, very professional stores in other states. So if you went to Texas, the best store in Texas is a friend of mine. So, you know, and we talk regionally. Hey, how are you doing in Texas? What's going on? What's hot? What's not hot? And it helps. And you're getting a clear vision, and everybody has been down in saltwater almost 30 to 40%. So we revamped our store, opened up a big $50,000 room for plants, literally, and downsized our saltwater. We still have a good selection. We still have plenty of fish available, but it's just costly, you know. And now with the economy, you know, I mean, we have to go with what people want to go with. And it seems like the saltwater customers that got out of it went to live plants, so which is the higher end of freshwater. So I'd say more freshwater now, than saltwater. I think reef is still pretty good.
Yeah.
People like corals, Larry, which are living reefs. They're really easy to take care of. You only have a few fish in a tank, so they're kind of the plants of the saltwater world. So that market's still solid. Yeah.
Let's take a call. Christina in Glenwood, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi there, thank you. Can you describe the best filtration system for a 55-gallon tank with African cichlids?
Gotcha. Are they? Do you know if they're pseudochromis? Do you know if they're Lake Malawi, or are they peacocks? Do you know the brand of cichlids you have?
Lake Malawi.
Okay, so they're going to get big, and they're kind of nasty. So you probably want to go with a largest filter that you can afford. Like, so if it's for a 55, you know, you want to buy a filter that's good for 90. It's not that they're that messy. You are feeding, I'm guessing, pellets?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you got a lot of meal in those pellets. You know, they live, they're very strong and they're very popular fish. You can't add a lot to them when the fish get older, but I would recommend a canister filter by far. Canister filters are very easy to maintain. In that tank, you would probably open that up twice a year. And your cost is just maybe $5 or $6 to buy a new pad. You don't have to constantly put cartridges in and have that, you know, that expense. And really the main thing is, like I told Larry early in the show, is the biological filtration in a canister is, you know, 15,000 to 20,000 square feet. So it's like an undergravel filter of a Pick and Save, if you're familiar with the old undergravels.
All right. There you, Christina, yeah. Does that help?
Yes, it sure does. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Appreciate your call. And you could join in too, 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. I'm wondering about plants. What kind of plants can you have in, let's say, a freshwater aquarium?
Yeah, let's give him, turn over to, he's called Master Ty over here. So he's known locally as Master Ty. So
but no, there are hundreds of different plants. I mean, you have foreground, background, I mean, you name it. But yeah, just to list a couple, there's, for some background plants, you could do any type of Rotalas, Luigias, any type of Hydrophilias, you know. The light is very important. There's three basic things and that would make anything absolutely thrive. Great lighting. You want to be around 65 to 6700 Kelvin for your light. You want good nutrient-rich soil. And then if you add CO2, any aquarium plant will absolutely thrive in your aquarium.
So do you need to keep, I'm wondering about the, from the fish point of view, do the lights stay on 24 hours a day?
Oh no. Yeah. Just like us, we like the light off when we sleep as well. So when the light goes on, you know, at midday, I mean, I try to recommend 8 hours to 10 hours max of light a day. And then move it to your, when you're home as well, have the light on when you're home so you can enjoy it.
Yeah, that makes the most sense to me. I thought it would probably, I mean, fish, well, do fish really sleep or what do they do anyway?
They don't need the light. They do. If you have a live planted tank, of course, you're going to need that light that Tyler says to keep the plants going. But if you have a non-planted tank, yeah, we tell our customers, turn the light on when you want to see them. Fish don't really care. They'll get the ambient light in the house, and you'll have less algae and less maintenance to do on the tank because you don't have no live plants. So the light is really more of a visual thing. And if you're at work, right, it doesn't kind of make sense. So, you know, we tell people, turn them on, turn them off when you want. A lot of people use them as night lights for their children, for their rooms. So we have lights now that are LED that have like a blue moonlight. So it's a very dim blue light at night, and they love them in the rooms for the kids. So there's a lot of that going on. But yeah, if you don't have a planted tank, turn the light on when you're home, turn it off when you're home. And if you have a planted tank, like Ty said, 8 to 10 hours is a requirement so the plants can get what they need to survive.
I got another tip, and this is based on yet another one of my former girlfriends, who seems like I've had a number of them over the years, but she moved to Minnesota, so she took her fish, and then she got to her apartment, and she went to the tap and poured a bunch of tap water into the aquarium so the fish would have something. And, of course, the fish immediately went belly up. Hmm. And I think it was the chlorine that was in the water.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, there's so many differences of waters, too. But you're right. I mean, chlorine, I mean, we don't usually see it. It depends on how much water she changed. And you know, because if you have a 10-gallon tank and she's only changing a half a gallon or something or adding water, at that point, it's not going to make that much of a difference. It might be something like the pH dropped or something else chemically has happened with the new water versus the old water. And so, you know, that's usually what we see. Sometimes chlorine is not really the reason why that happens. It's more of, hey, the tank hasn't been changed in 3 months, and now you give it this shot of new stuff, and the balance becomes a little unstable.
Yeah, so, I think she had to put some kind of pellet in the water.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's usually drops, so it's called a water conditioner. And if you just run that in your tank on a normal basis,
you shouldn't see any, you know, reduction of fish due to a water change.
Well, I tell you what, this has been fun.
Sure
you,
has.
You've caused. I've learned a lot about aquariums and fish, and you also brought up out of my memory a couple of old girlfriends. So
yeah, we've learned a lot about your girlfriends too, Larry. Thank you. We're gonna have a show on that. It sounds like.
Steven Tyler Bannock, owner of the Fish Factory in West Allis, Wisconsin. It was fun having them on, and maybe we can do it again with them down the road. And I hope down the road you'll stay listening. You know, our shows are a team effort. Our producers, we got Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and our executive director is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you for listening and stay with us. Lots in store on WPR.